Well, I'm excited to be in the Word. I got to, last night I got to go sit under my pastor as he ministered in Erie, and then I got to spend a few time afterwards, and it was just a blessed time. Glory to God. You know, it was something I sensed I needed to do, and it's amazing how God orchestrates things, and I can't go into all the details, but we'll just say that it was a divine appointment, amen, and I don't believe it was just for me either, but in fact, he said that as well, but it's just amazing how God just wants to take care of us, amen, and just wants to do things, praise the Lord for us, and so I'm so thankful for all that the Lord has for us. I'm so thankful for what he continually is doing, you know, when we would give up on each other or even ourselves miles back, God is still with us. He's still running with us, rooting for us, amen. He's still looking, you know, for as much as you can screw up, God is still looking to get you right, amen. I mean, at some point you got to listen to him, because we do, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we face that we don't have to face, but we face them not because there's an enemy, but because we're our own enemy a lot of times, amen. In fact, I want to do a little bit of an exercise with you this morning, if you don't mind, amen. I want you to go ahead and take your, if you can find your right finger, and I want you to place it on the right side of your head, and then if you can go ahead and find your left finger, pointer finger, and I want you to place it on the left side of your head, and now you do the hokey pokey and turn yourself. No, I'm just kidding. Your greatest problem or hindrances in life are going to be between these two points right here. Your greatest hindrance to the plan of God, to the things that God has for you, put them down now. Praise the Lord. But they're going to be between those two points. Amen. Our minds are the battlefield. Battlefield. It's the battlefield. Glory to God. I tell you, it is good in here today. It's nice and thick up here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And not just because I've been eating mama's cookies. Praise the Lord. But the greatest battlefield we're going to have is right there, up there. Amen. It's not even the devil. I mean, the devil, that's where he plays. Yeah. That's where he's trying to play his games and stuff like that. But when you understand that the devil literally has no power over you, just the power of suggestion. And that's not much of a power when you know the truth. Amen. And so aren't you thankful that we have the truth? Yeah. Glory to God. You know, I lived a lot of my life in depression and being lost and just not knowing where to go. It's the truth that set me free. And what was that truth? It just a matter of getting my mind to think right. And so embrace the right thinking. And so today's message is called Winning the War of Your Mind. Glory to God. And we're going to be talking about that. Amen. You already know what the issue is. Praise the Lord. Now, when I say that it's an issue, what I mean by that is this. It's not an issue that can't be fixed. It's just we got to know, before you can fix an issue, you got to know what the issue is. But once you know what the issue is, it isn't difficult to go ahead and fix it, is it? Especially when you have the cure for all those things. And, you know, the greatest battle, you know, the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Of course, we know the good fight of faith is going to happen there. God has given us a measure of faith. He's given us the ability to have faith. He's given us the Holy Spirit to encourage us and lead us toward faith and encourage us as we go. Amen. When you think about, if you really truly think about the way God has set us up, it's just so precious. He's given us so much to win, but we have to make a determination in order to do that. Now, I've been preaching a lot about revelation knowledge and stuff like that. I spent a couple weeks on that. Amen. And really, revelation knowledge is only going to come when we deal with our minds correctly. When we look at our minds and we say, okay, that's not thinking that's in line with the Word of God. And so I need to renew my mind. You know, of course, I said that that's going to be a theme throughout this year. Romans 12:2, amen, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And of course, what is the renewing of our mind? Renewing. What is renewing anything? If you renew something, and remember when I was a kid, you would have a library card. Amen. Yeah. And every once in a while, you had to renew it, right? And what did that mean? You had to go back and say you still wanted it. Amen? You had to go back, and sometimes, I can't remember if you had to pay a fee or something like that. Certainly, probably never did. There was a fee with it. But you'd have to renew it, and you'd have to pay that fee. And sometimes, even if you have a subscription. Recently, when when we were into COVID there, and I was sitting at home, and we were sitting at home a lot. I saw this thing on social media that was an advertisement for a magazine of a place I wanted to go, and since I couldn't go there, I figured I might as well get a subscription to the magazine. Well, that lasted, and I didn't look at like 3/4 of them anyway, but because COVID didn't really stop me too much from going anywhere. But as I got to the end of the year of that subscription, they automatically renewed it again. And I called them up and I said, well, I didn't really want it to be auto-renewed. Amen. And so I called them up and they were happy. And we said, we'll even send you a free copy on us. Thank you for subscribing. Amen. And but it was a renewing process is what continues that subscription to come to me. Well, the same thing is if we want our minds to think right, we have to continually renew them. We have to keep them in the right place that God has given us to keep them. Amen. And how many know that really we fight a lot of battles in life, but those aren't battles that we ought to fight. The only battle that we are really told to fight is to keep our minds right. Keep our hearts right. Because if you keep your mind and your heart right, everything else becomes easy. See, some people, they have a hard time with the direction of God, and that's because they haven't renewed their mind. They haven't renewed their mind and realized that God's way is easier. When you realize that God's way is easier, then the direction doesn't become hard. Because if I give you the easy path, then you realize, well, praise the Lord, if this is where I got to get to, I want to go the easiest way. And as long as you go the easiest way, you'll get there in an easy manner. But if you decide that you want to take, you know, when we go places and we go, you know, maybe we want to go see a waterfall or something, rarely are they right off the side of the road, but you got to hike a little bit to them. How many know that a lot of these places, these waterfalls are in kind of remote places, and a lot of times they're around mountains because you can't have a fall, waterfall, unless you have something for it to fall from. Amen. And so these waterfalls will be on a mountain or something like that, but they have paths. And this one that we've gone to down in Gatlinburg, or down just outside of Gatlinburg, there's this one waterfall that we've gone to many times, and they even have a paved path through the woods. But as you walk through that paved path, you can notice that there's hills and there's rocks and everything else. They've made it easy for you, but you could make it more difficult. Right? You could go make your own path, and it's not going to be near as easy as it is going on the paved path. Well, it's the same thing that God has done for us. He's given us a paved path. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work, but it's certainly a lot easier than the path that is unpaved, the path that isn't prepared for us. But God has done that. Amen. And so it comes with thinking right. If we're going to walk through this life right, if we're going to be walking in the blessings of God, we have to think right about both of ourselves. We got to think right about God, and we got to think right about the Word. Amen? So glory to God. We're going to start over there in James 1. Glory to God. Winning the war of our minds. Amen. Found James 1, go down there and find verse 23. Hallelujah. Won't be unfamiliar to you, but we're going to look at it anyways. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, everyone say hearer.
Hearer.
You know what a hearer is? It's one who hears continually. Yeah. It's one who hears often. Yeah. A hearer is one who hears more than once. In fact, a hearer has no end to it. It's not a herd. Didn't say if anyone's a heard of the word. Amen. It says a hearer of the word. What is a hearer? One who continually hears the word. If you don't continually hear the word, you're not going to have much ammo to renew your mind with. Amen. It's going to be real difficult to renew your mind if you're not a hearer, if you're just a heard. That's why some people think that, you know, I did good. I read through the Bible. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you read through the Bible. But heard, faith doesn't come by heard. It comes by hearing. It comes by being a hearer. So if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, not a did. You're not a heard and a did, you're a hearer and a doer. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We got to remember these things. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a natural mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
One of the biggest problems that I've seen is Christians keep forgetting who they are. Or Christians never know who they are in the beginning. You know, there's a lot of arguments out there about this and that, about the faith and different people. You can get online. You can find everything to argue why one person's wrong, and then you can find everything else to argue why they're wrong. Amen? Yeah. You can find enough arguments to confuse you until Jesus comes back. Amen? But the Bible's clear. Amen? The Bible helps. Just stick to the word. I would imagine that God has a way of getting things to us. Now, he tells us it's important to be a hearer and a doer. Yeah. Amen. If we don't do the word and we are just hearers, we are deceiving ourselves. We are like a natural man who looks at his face in the mirror and turns away and forgets who he was. You know, it wouldn't be... It would be a pretty difficult life if you forgot what you look like all the time, yeah. Or if other people forget what you look like. Yeah. I actually have this problem a little bit, not forgetting myself. I remember what myself looks like, but I'm forgetting what people look like. You know, I get into a little bit of confusion sometimes, and this is all brought on by my own anxieties, you know, the things I have to deal with myself. When I say anxieties, not that I'm living in some great anxiety, but I do have a little bit of social anxiety. You may not know that, but I do have that naturally in me, and it's something that I have to deal with and fight battle back and forth. In fact, it used to cause me to do like really weird things, like not go in public and stuff like that. But I now embrace those types of things. But I do have a little bit of a social anxieties at times when I first got to meet somebody, I usually don't want to. You know what I mean? The first time, or I'm going to a place, like I go to a special meeting somewhere, I know all the people that are going to be there, but I don't want to go into the space. I just kind of wish I was there, you know, and there's things like that. But part of that social anxiety sometimes can come out in this way that I convince myself that I forget that the people that I'm seeing are actually the people that I'm seeing. Does that make any sense? In other words, if it's somebody that I only kind of know, I'm like, I always doubt myself. Is that really them? And then I have that anxiety that tries to come on me. Well, I don't want to go say hi to them now because if it's not them, in fact, this happened to me. And my worst fears came out. You know, the Bible tells us that fear will bring out the thing. It will manifest the thing. So my wife and I decided we went out to this restaurant in Jamestown, and we were at this restaurant one night, and I come in and I see this guy sitting there that I know very well. I haven't seen him in quite a few years. Social anxiety has a space to start kicking in and start getting me thinking, you know? And I'm thinking, I got to say something to him, but I also hate saying things to people, because then I always have this thought that, what if I run out of conversation? You know, those I hate awkward moments. I hate those awkward moments where you're just standing there and you're looking at each other and you're like, if you would just say, I could respond, but you're not saying anything and I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Yeah. Amen? I'm just telling you, I mean, this is all real. The stuff we deal with. And I see this guy and I'm thinking, well, you know, this guy, you know, he was good to me before and I need to say something to him. So we're sitting there and, you know, and of course it's in the midst of COVID, so you can't talk to anybody, you know, and yeah, because God forbid you talk to somebody who's within 6 feet from you, because, you know, you might kill them or they might kill you, something like that. I don't know how it all works, but, you know, so we're sitting there and finally I decide that I'm going to say something. My wife is talking to me, I'm talking to her, but the whole time I'm thinking about the guy sitting across. And so I turn to him and I say, Tom! And he looks at me, and it is Tom. But he tells me it's not. And I'm looking at him, and then he speaks. I'm like, nope, that's not Tom's voice. And he looked just like him. Looked just like Tom. See, my worst fear has come to pass. Well, that's awkward, sorry. Guess you're not Tom, but right. The guy even got up and walked like Tom. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, you know somebody, you see them walking, you think that, you know, not that I watch the way Tom walks or anything. You know, it's not like that. Praise the Lord. But you know what I mean? You just, like, you know, people have certain mannerisms, you know, like, anybody, let's throw that out there. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. That's fine, but. Hallelujah. But, you know, people have certain mannerisms, and you know those, you pick up on those things, you know, stuff like that. But at any rate, you know, how'd I get on all this? I'm not even quite sure where I was going. Yeah. What's that? Yes, the mirror. Got to remember what you look like. Carry a picture of Tom with you. Thanks, Scott. Brought us back. You salvaged your service, brother. Thank you. Because I didn't know. Sometimes, you know, I just get off on my own path. I'm just hiking on my own trail right now. So I'll get back here eventually. But it's kind of ridiculous if we would walk away from a mirror and forget who we are. But the Bible says that if we don't continually looking, if we're not a doer of the word that we hear, glory to God, that we continually hear, that we are like that. That's exactly what we're just as ridiculous as someone who walks away from a mirror and forgets who they are, forgets, you know, what they look like. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the word is supposed to be our mirror. It's supposed to be the thing that helps us see us in the right way. How many know that the carnal mind is enmity against God, the word says, right? It's in Romans. The carnal mind fights the things that God wants you to know. And this is where so many Christians kind of, and when I say fail, I mean they kind of get into a place, they get stuck, is when they allow too much of the mental mind, the mental realm, your thoughts, your emotions, the things that you want to do, the things that you think. You know, my wife and I were talking about this. You know, if you talking about being a blessing, you know, to somebody, if I said I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to get you something that really blesses you, and you say that I really hate purple, but I come to you with something that's just covered in purple, it's not going to be a blessing to you. You know what I mean? In your mind, you're thinking, oh, I just want to bless them. But in their mind, it's like, but that's not blessing me. You know what I mean? And so we have to understand that our thoughts aren't always the accurate ones. And that's where we get confused, because we're so used to dealing with our own thoughts and embracing our own thoughts and our own ways that our thoughts just have to be right. But we have to be willing to submit our thoughts under the word of God to lay them down. And really, in reality, what it is when we don't, it's just that one of the largest forms of pride that exists. When we think that, man, this is the way I think, so this has got to be right, all that is pride. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And of course, we know pride is what caused the devil to sin. Amen. Glory to God, because he thought he knew better. And so it's the same thing. We don't want to be a forgetful hearer. We want to be a doer of the word. Amen. Amen. Now, we were recently, I think last week, we were in 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16. So I'm just going to pull them up again, because it is amazing to me how these pertain to this message. Praise the Lord, or how the Lord tied it together for me anyways. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be what? Evident to all. So God desires that our progress is not just something that happens, but it's evident to all. When I have family members see me today, the progress, the things that God has done in my life is evident to them. They may not understand it, but it's evident to them. When I see people from my past, when I see friends from my past that I haven't seen in many years and they see me today, it's evident that there's change in my life. Amen. And so we're going to come back to this, but we're going to go on to the next verse real quick. Amen. Take heed to yourself. Amen. So you got to watch out for yourself. That doesn't mean like you're just going to protect yourself. I'm standing up for me by God. That's not what this is talking about. This is watch yourself. Watch your way of thinking. Watch your way of being. Watch your way of doing. Yeah. Glory to God. Take heed to yourself. You know, everybody, you know, remember Jesus said this thing about before you want to get the speck out of your brother's eye, that you need to deal with the board in your own eye. Glory to God. What was he talking about? Taking heed to yourself. That's what taking heed to yourself is. It's looking into your own, like, don't go trying to correct everybody else until you get your own stuff fixed. Yes. Listen, in fact, I'm just going to tell you what right now. If you're trying to fix somebody else and you aren't fixed, you're deceived. Yeah. Amen. Right. We've got to fix. Now, what does that mean? You have to be perfect before you can help anybody else? Absolutely not. But you have to, humility tells you that you can't go destroying the devil, the works of the devil, until you've destroyed them in your own life first. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We got to deal with ourselves. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Yeah. What is the doctrine? Oh, man, praise God. Hallelujah. I love social media. Now, I say that in all jesting. And I'm talking about social media in the sense of where it gives people platforms to speak their mind. Now, when I use social media, I use it very, I enjoy social media. I use it very lightheartedly. post pictures, stuff like that. But if there's anything that's at all controversial, people start posting, I mean, I just get rid of them. I just don't even want to look at it, so I won't follow it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you have so many people out there that have so many ideas on how to fix so many things. And the funny thing about that is the world is a wreck. Yeah. This nation is in chaos. Why is it that way? Because you got a bunch of uneducated people out there. And what I mean uneducated is not, maybe they have degrees. That doesn't make, I've known people with master's degrees that run whole companies that can't run their simple lives. Their life is chaotic mess, and all because they haven't learned some of the most basic things. Take heed to yourself. See, this is what people need. They need to learn how to take heed to themselves. Fix yourself before you're going to fix someone else. Amen. And to the doctrine. The doctrine, of course, but what I was saying about social media is people get on there and they think, well, this is, you know, I've seen a lot of people do, they like to be inspirational, so they start their own inspirational blog and they want to inspire other people by saying inspirational things. And I look at those things and I'm thinking, man, you know what that is? And they don't realize it. And I'm not saying they do this from a wrong heart, but that's a lot of pride. Now, I'm not saying if you want to share a quote or something like that, but Hollywood, this is the greatest example. Hollywood is full of this. Have you ever noticed that all these Hollywood actors think that now they have a platform that they have some kind of right to tell you what's right and wrong to do? They can't hold a marriage for 6 months, but they can tell you who to vote for. They can tell you what kind of platform to stand on. They can tell you what's right and wrong, and you shouldn't think this way, and you shouldn't think that way. And the dumb Americans sit around listening to this garbage and say, yeah, they're right, they're right, they're right. You know why? Because they haven't renewed their mind to the truth. You can't look to people who are wrecking the world. I mean, they go out, they think, I mean, these people, they're absolutely amazing. The foolishness. But people follow it in droves. And yet we're crazy. Because we're sitting here on a Sunday morning and maybe a Tuesday night and we're listening for God. We're crazy. We're the crazy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. The doctrine is the word of God, the things that are taught from the word of God. We need to embrace the truth of the word and hold it to our lives. That is to take heed. Continue in them. Continue in them. Be a hearer and a doer. Continue a hearer and a doer. Amen. See, last week when I preached last week's message with these scriptures in it, I had no idea I was preaching this week's message with these week's scriptures in it. And so it's amazing how the Holy Ghost just connects us, isn't it? Amen. Brings us together. Praise the Lord. Continue in them, for in doing this, everybody say this.
Yes.
What is this? Taking heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Being a hearer and a doer, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Yeah. See, people want to be a help. All you got to do is get good with God. Yeah. Learn something from Him, and you're going to help a lot of people. Now, let's go back to verse 15. Hallelujah. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Remember what I said about, and the Lord showed me this about meditation, and this I thought was profound, and that's why it's back in this service as well. We need to understand this. One of the key definitions of meditation here, or to meditate, was literally to imagine. You remember, and I said to you, I was like, do you imagine the word being active in your life? If you're sick, or dealing with an injury or something like that, and you're seeking God for healing. You know, we think it's just enough to pray, but it's not just enough to pray. Do you imagine yourself as the healed of the Lord? If you're in bondage of any kind, do you imagine yourself set free? And when we know about imagination, does anyone have an imagination at all? Yes. Amen. If you have a hard time with imagination, come see me. I can share mine with you because I got crazy imaginations. Amen. If you've ever had a dream, you can see just how crazy the mind can be. Amen. Has crazy imaginations. But why do you suppose that is? This, I believe, I don't have scripture to back this up. I believe it's from the Holy Ghost. So you can judge it from that standpoint. Why do you think dreams are as crazy or can be so crazy? I think that it has, God has built that within us. Now, I'll get back to remind me about the devil, okay, in a minute. I believe that the Lord has built that possibility within us so that we could imagine other things. so that we could imagine, so we could have, so we could break out of crazy places. Sometimes we're in crazy places in life, right? Yeah. Sometimes if you're in a crazy place, you need a crazy way out. Yeah. And if you're not thinking crazy, you might not just get there. Yeah. So God gives us the ability to imagine, to see things that are impossible, to see the possible, the impossible as possible. Right? Yeah. I mean, does that make sense? We give them the Holy Ghost and to think, and God calls those things that be not as though they were. And so we've been created in his likeness and image. So obviously God has put some kind of correlation here. Yeah. You told me, I told you to remind me about the devil, right? How does the devil use this against us? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be real obvious, and you're going to relate to this right here. Devil will give you a thought, won't he? Yeah. Sometimes that thought's horrible. Sometimes that thought is not grounded in any truth. But doesn't that thought come into your life and start affecting you sometimes? If you meditate on that thought, doesn't it start eating at you? Doesn't it start clawing at you? Doesn't it just get you all wrapped up and all of a sudden you can go from having a little twinge in your shoulder to being full of some kind of sickness in your mind? That you're definitely going to die, that it's all over? What are you going to do? You know, I remember, you know, I think about this often. When I was younger, I was stupid, you know, and I did a lot of stupid things. I would do a lot of stupid things and I'd hurt myself, but I never thought much of it. You know, if I had a pain in my shoulder or my stomach or anywhere else, I didn't think much of it. If I hurt myself, I didn't think much of it. If I wanted medicine, I didn't think much of it, and I didn't think much of the directions. If I wanted to take some NyQuil, for example, and back then the NyQuil was good. It wasn't the NyQuil they got today. The NyQuil back then really rocked you. I mean, it'd give you crazy dreams. Amen? But I never spooned that stuff out or took a measuring cup. I took the bottle, tipped it back, and that's how I took it. Now, I'm not saying to do that, but I'm just saying, I told you, I was stupid. I thought like that. You know, if I wanted medicine, I took as much as I thought I needed. In fact, I got so good at taking pills that I would take pills often in all kinds of different ways and did all kinds of different things. I got to the point where certain painkillers didn't even faze me. I could take Vicodin. Everybody knows about Vicodin. I could take Vicodin. I wouldn't even take it anymore because it didn't even faze me. It didn't do anything to me. I said it didn't do anything to me. Amen? I built up that resistance because that's the way I was. I wasn't thinking right. Amen? Yeah. See, we need to think right. We need to... How'd I get on that? The devil will convince you on... What's that? Yeah. He'll get you imagining all kinds of things that aren't right. And if we embrace those things, if we embrace that kind of thing, we go to where that takes us. Now, some things can be self-fulfilling prophecy, so to speak, but it all happens up here. We're going to deal with this. Meditate on these things the Bible tells us. Why does it tell us to meditate? Imagine, think about it. Put yourself in the place of seeing it. Now, there are some people that are resisting this type of message, and I understand they're saying that it's some New Age thinking and stuff like that, but I don't think that it's New Age thinking. I think that this is exactly what the Word teaches us. Amen. Otherwise, it wouldn't say meditate on these things. Why would we have to spend time hearing the Word if it's not changing us, right? The battlefield up here, we know that that's the problem. In fact, when I said that, you probably weren't totally surprised, were you? When I said that one of the biggest battles you'll deal with up here, why? Because the biggest battle you deal with every day is not even, because if somebody says something, how many know this? Somebody says something to you and you know that it shouldn't bother you. You know it shouldn't, right? Yeah. Has anyone ever had that happen? Yeah. You know it shouldn't bother you, but for some reason it does. Yeah. For some reason, I remember I used to say, what are you going to do, take my birthday away? I used to say that to her. What's the what are you going to do, take my birthday away? Really, what are people going to do? They say something mean to you. What are they going to do? Take your birthday away? I mean, what can they do to you that's really going to hurt you? That's going to harm you? Nobody can really, they can't, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You remember that? We used to chant that back in the, see, these kids today, they need to chant that a little bit. Because everybody is so flowery. Everybody's so touchy. Oh my gosh, you said that and it offends me and it hurts me. And now I just don't, I need a safe space to go to because you said things that, well, do you really believe them? If somebody says, no, listen, if you're going to say something to me that's offensive, there's one of two things that could happen or that could be truth. Either one, it's true, or two, it's not true. Yeah. And if it is true, then there was nothing wrong with really saying it to me because if it's a problem, I probably need to fix it. And if it's not true, what does it matter? Because if it's not true, I know it's not true. I don't care what you think. Yeah. But see, our minds won't let it be. Yeah. And because it's an unrenewed mind. It's a mind that we allow to just be touchy, to be controlled. A mind, see, minds that get offended, that's really what those are. Now, listen, all of us will deal with offense. I don't care who you are. But we need to learn how to deal with it right. Yeah. Amen. We need to be able to reel these things back and say, wait a minute here. This, you know, recently, and this, oh, this was such a good test. You want to hear a good story?
Yeah.
Amen. Recently, a friend of mine told me, you got to listen to this certain message. It's really good. So I did. I went and listened to it. I was like, man, that's a good message. And so I took the minister. I sent them. I was real blessed by the message. So I took my card out and sent them some money, the minister some money to bless them. And I told him why. I said, well, watch this message. Really blessed me. I just wanted to bless you for it. Amen. And so I did that and waited for the response.
Oh, boy.
I didn't get a response. You know, and some time went by, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're busy, they're in meetings or whatever, and no response. Days go by, still no response. You know what? I can look at my phone today, there still hasn't been a response. And it just makes me mad. Yeah, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, what the hell? I took time to send them a nice note and say, and send them money, and they didn't even respond to me. But you know what's funny about this? The Lord, Holy Spirit spoke on the inside of me. He said, oh, is that why you sent that?
Come on.
Ouch! Well, God, why don't you correct him? Why are you correcting me? You got to think right.
Yeah.
I was even tempted to go tell people about it. So I tell a whole congregation of people. But I didn't tell you who it was. Amen. But I was tempted to go tell a lot of people, say, you know, so-and-so, this is how good they are. I listened to this message. It really blessed me by them. God was speaking to me through their voice in this message. I sent them money, and now I'm offended at them. And, they're wrong because of this or that. Praise the Lord. So you got to get my thinking right. The Holy Ghost will correct you if you listen. Amen. And so, of course, I was corrected by that. And I'm like, ouch. You know, and I still don't expect. And, you know, when it's time, I'll send another offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have to think right about things. We have to not be touchy. We have to control that thing between those two points. Now, there was actually a reason. I wasn't just playing games with you. There's a reason I had you put your fingers at either side of your head. And that's because as goofy as it sounds, you're going to always think about that. When stuff starts happening, when stuff starts going wrong, and even now that I'm taking it further, you're going to think about that. You're going to remember to do this. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Why? Amen. Because if you have knowledge of the truth, there's nothing that can touch you. The knowledge of the truth means that if I'm right before the Lord, there ain't nothing that can touch me. The devil can't take you out. He'll tell you he can, but he's a liar. And if he's a liar, that means you can't trust what he says. Listen, if somebody lies to you once, you can forgive it. But if somebody continually lies to you, you can't trust them. I'm just going to help you with a lot of things in life. If somebody continually lies or you keep falling into the same trap, and it's a continual lie, stop. Yeah. If it's a lie, it's a lie. It's not going to change. Just get over it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But this is what people do with the devil. Amen? All right, let's move on because I want to. So remember that. Meditate is to imagine. Let's think about when we meditate on these things. We meditate on the truth. You know when the Lord first started dealing with my wife and I that we were going to pastor churches, in our minds we couldn't imagine how that was going to be. We couldn't imagine doing that. But we knew that it was the call of God, and so it did something on the inside of us, and it stirred us up. But what did we start doing? We started imagining what that would look like. We would drive up to Mayville, because we knew we were going to call it Mayville. We would drive, do you know, for years before we were actually ever planted a church here, my wife and I would drive up here several times a week and just drive through the town, and we would imagine, will the church be here? Will it be here? We tried to imagine the people that would be sitting in the seats. We tried to imagine what God was going to do. We tried to imagine, what is that? That's stirring our faith. That's getting us thinking on the right thing. See, we started, now you can use your imagination for wrong things. And of course, you know, things like the internet help us do that with like things like pornography, because they want you to, you know, the devil wants you to imagine things that you shouldn't. And so it's a trap and it gets you in there thinking of the wrong thing. And of course, there's many other things. If you're poor, the devil will have you imagining being rich, imagining it in a way that you'll never obtain it. You'll see people that are rich and you'll think, man, why do they have that? I wish I could just have one little bit of that, and then you'll get thinking wrong. And see, imaginations, if they're not controlled, will make you think wrong.
Right.
And they will get you in a wrong place.
Yeah.
Amen. So imagine we're focusing on that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Praise God. You getting help here today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're going to trust the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Spirit. Can't imagine life without Him. I don't even want to. Well, I can't imagine. I can just remember, because I remember what life was like without the Holy Spirit really operating in my life. Amen?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This sounds an awful lot like Ephesians 6, 12, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. I'm just going to tell you, if the battles of your life take place in the flesh, you know what that means, in the carnal body, you know, in your mind, if you're fighting with people, if you're bickering, if you're having all these kinds of things, if that's where your fights are, they're the wrong fights. See, it's just a matter of thinking right. You just got to think right. You got to just choose, like, this isn't right. It's not what we like. Listen, there's a lot of times where people take me off and I want to give them peace of my mind. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all there.
Yeah.
But what is that going to do for us?
Right.
Besides giving them a piece of your mind. I was telling a story the other night. Just before I was pastor, a little bit before we started pastoring, I was at Home Depot one day and I got really mad because I had gone. We were actually putting together our frame shop. And I used to have a picture frame shop where I did picture frames and made picture frames for people. And we were painting the interior of it. And I painted 3/4 of the wall, ran out of paint, didn't buy enough paint. So I had to go back and buy a gallon of paint, right? So I take the paint can that I was using back to Home Depot, get another can of paint, started painting it. When it dries, I realize they mixed it wrong. They either mixed the first batch wrong or they mixed this batch wrong. So I went back to the store a little bit ticked off because I'm trying to work in a tight schedule and get things done. We're working hard to try to get it done. You know how it is. My emotions are going. And so I get back to the store and I said, listen, I was like, either you mix the first batch wrong or you mix this batch wrong, but I need the right batch. Right? And so I need you to make it like the first one and to go back and do that again. And the guy says, do you have a receipt? And I said, no, I don't have my receipt on me. I just came from the place and I need to get this done quickly and I just forgot it. So I need to get back here and do it. He said, well, I need a receipt. Now I'm getting mad. I'm like, I don't have a receipt, but I have the paint. He's like, yeah, but I need a receipt. I said, this paint can. I said, is this from your store? He's like, yep. I said, can you buy this in other stores? Nope, only buy it here at Home Depot. There's your receipt. Mix me my paint can. I mean, like, come on. This is a little bit of common sense here, and I'm getting mad, but I mean, seriously, and y'all agree with me, I'm probably in the right here. You can't buy bare paint anywhere else, to my knowledge. Not around here. You definitely can't. It was a depot, and the guy said, I need a receipt. And then I got mad. And, of course, I wasn't quite as sanctified as I am now. Glory to God. And so I gave him a word, and the word wasn't good, but it was one of those words, you know, and it was one of those words that try not real hard not to use today. I gave him the word and he got nervous and he decided to try to find it in the computer. Oh, found it in the computer. We can go ahead and mix this right up for you. And he did. And I leave there mad, but I got my point across and I got my paint and I'm going back to the store. And then the Lord starts dealing with me.
Yeah.
You're a Christian boy. You can't talk like that to people, especially in public. Come on, God, and I'm painting, and he's dealing with me, and I'm painting, I'm dealing with me. But you know I got to go back to Home Depot, because that's the only store I'm going to be, you know, that was nearest at whatever, going to be buying stuff, the rest of the stuff at. And so sure enough, find myself going back with my tail between my legs, and I had to go up in front of people and say, listen, man, I'm like, I'm a Christian. I said things that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done it. I want to apologize. And you know, that wasn't the last time that guy really ticked me off. I mean, he found ways of doing it. I think after that, like, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, you know, there was one time, man, I can get the stories. But see, you had to deal with it right. The other, what's that? Oh, he did. He was gracious. He was gracious. But you know what he was doing the whole time? He was sitting there going, "What a jerk you are!" You know, like, who's this guy? Who does he think? You know what I mean? But I mean, I don't really know that. But I fixed it, praise the Lord. But I had to think right, you know? Yeah. And see, that's the thing. If we're not willing to think right, if we get into contention, I didn't plan on getting all this. Man, but we're getting there, amen? But we want to get fixed here. We want to get our minds fixed, right? And I got some good stuff to get to. But and a whole lot. Praise the Lord. So we're in verse 3. We do not war according to the flesh, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, this is really interesting. Strongholds, I've heard this talk so many times, but strongholds, there's so many people that think strongholds are all these crazy spiritual things and stuff like that. It's not. Strongholds are right here. And the Bible teaches us that we can pull down those strongholds, and it's going to tell us how. It says, casting down, this is how we pull down strongholds, casting down arguments. Amen. That word arguments, I want to read it, I think, let me look it up here real quick. That's 2 Corinthians 10. I'm doing it on the iPad, so. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is good. Casting down arguments. I'm actually going to bring you something in the King Jimmy version. You ready?
Yes.
Say, I'm ready, Pastor. All right, here we go. Casting down imaginations. Wow. There's that word. This is what drew it together. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. What's knowledge of God? It's the Word. So if you think you're justified in an argument, just go back to the Word. Are you justified? You'll know real quick. And if you ain't justified, you got to do something with that thing, and it's called casting it down. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I love when my pastor was talking about this. He's like, sometimes with your mind, you got to play a real nasty game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Does anybody know what I love that game. Someday I would love to have a vintage. So if you ever come across one of the vintage whack-a-mole games for cheap or something, let me know about it. I'll buy it. But you remember whack-a-mole in the arcade? We used to play it down over there in Midway. The mole heads would start coming up, bang, bang, and it starts slow, right? And it's kind of a really aggressive game.
It really is.
But I'm telling you, that's why my generation was still somewhat good. You know what I mean? Like these new generations, they'd have a lot. If they could just get their frustrations out on whack-a-mole, they wouldn't be going and doing all the things that they're doing, the stupid things. They wouldn't be rioting in the streets. I don't even want to do that. I'm going to go, yeah, just play whack-a-mole, amen? They just need to put whack-a-mole in every school. But, you know, and as it gets going, it goes faster and faster. And then sometimes two heads will pop up. I think there's even a place where three heads will pop up. Amen? Sometimes that's what it is with our thoughts. You're going to have lots of thought. One thought right after another, rolling. Duh, 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 duh. But you got to deal with it. You know what the Lord showed me about this that was real interesting? The devil will give you a thought, and you may even know that you got to cast it down. And so the devil will give you a thought, and you'll cast it down. And you might do this even several times. But the devil will keep bringing that thought to you. And you know what you do eventually sometimes? You'll sit there, and I'm talking about you, meaning could be any of us.
Yeah.
Not just you, but like if you're listening, I'm not just talking to you.
Right.
I'm talking to everybody else too, amen. But all of us, talking to myself too. But you cast it down like maybe 50 times. But then all of a sudden you start thinking about it and you're like, maybe it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now you cast it down 50 times,
yeah.
But now all of a sudden it's true. See, this is the thing we have to do. And this is why, this is how abuse happens, you know, like, especially from childhood and stuff like this. Somebody tells you constantly, you're no good. You're no good. You're worthless. You're worthless. You might not even feel that way at first, but somebody tells you that enough and you believe. Why? Because they renew your mind or transform your mind by the wrong kind of renewing. And this is how abuse happens and why people deal with things in life so often. Of course, any psychologists out there know this kind of stuff. You know, that people will have these things put in. Of course, that stuff will affect people. I'm not making light of that. Amen. But we have to visualize ourselves differently. We have to see ourselves in light of the Word of God. We have to see our mirror, our reflection has to be what God says about us and not what the world says about us. Our reflection has to be what God says about us and not what our mind says about us. Because our mind is going to go with whatever. Our mind is like water. It seeks the path of least resistance. Doesn't that? I mean, what's easier? Is it easier to sit there and study the Word, or is it easier to sit there and watch, 50 episodes of the Gilmore Girls? You know what I'm saying? Like, in a row, you know what I mean? Like, what's easier for you? Is it easier to watch, American Idol or something like that for, I don't even know what people watch, but you know what I mean? Like, whatever you're binge watching, you know why? Because it's the path of least resistance. You sit there, you veg out, and you sit there in front of, you remember they used to call it the boob tube? Now they call it information? Yeah. They used to call it the boob tube. Why? Because that's what it is. Make you boob. Listen, I'm speaking old school here, so if you're new school, don't think new school, you gotta think old school. Boob is like a... I'm stopping. My wife, please, she's pleading with me. Please. Glory to God. You gotta understand the people I come from. Yeah. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be you don't want to be a moron. You don't want to be like, it's so, like, if you soak all that up, you know how many people really, I mean, people who, I'm just going to be honest with you, people, and I've learned this, and I'm one of these people that I've been fasting from the news now. I haven't watched it in a week. Not kidding. I haven't even turned it on in a week. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Lord's dealing with me. Every time I get into it, I start watching it, and I think, okay, I'm justified to look at a little, so I do. I look at a little bit. But then what do? I look at a little more. And I look at a little more. And what is it? It's all lies. Yeah. They're lying. I mean, I know there's some truth in there, but they're all filtering it through what they want you to know. Yeah. Boob. Yeah, that's what you become. You become an instant moron because you're just, they must be right. This is the only truth. Listen, this is the truth. If I get up here and I start speaking out of my mind, that's not truth. If I start preaching to you messages based on my experience, that's not truth. If I start telling you things that I've come up with, that I learned in school and all these things, that isn't truth. But if I preach to you the Word of God, you know something, we've got universal truth. This is our truth. And this has got to be our truth. And so when you're playing whack-a-mole with your mind, that's one of the things. And this is why the Lord deals with me about what you put in, because he's been dealing with me a lot about that personally. What you put in is what you're going to get out. Why? Because all of these things that you watch, well, I like to get on social media, and I'm not talking about just me. I'm just saying in general. I like to get on social media. I like to watch the news. I like to listen to this. I like to read this magazine and that magazine. And I like to listen to my friends, and I like to talk about this. And we like to do this. And what's happening? All of a sudden, boom, whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole. You got all these moles popping up. Yep. You're right. Yeah. And you ain't even whacking them anymore. You're just watching them.
Yeah.
We all, listen. Wow. The one who stands at the whack-a-mole game just going like this, they ain't getting no tickets.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Whack-a-mole feeds you tickets, and tickets you go buy the worthless junk in the case. But in the moment, that's gold. Amen?
Yeah.
The one who just stands there and watches everybody play whack-a-mole, they don't get the tickets.
Yeah.
We got to deal with those thoughts. If we want the golden tickets, if we want the junk in the case, if we want the stuff that's valuable to us, if we want the thing that we're after, we got to deal with those thoughts.
Yeah.
We have to cast down those imaginations. We have to be, wait a minute, we're not going to accept this anymore. We're not going to accept this way of thinking. Amen? Amen. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Amen. Well, I think I know better than you. No, you don't. Not if it's not the Word. Amen? Glory to God. We don't know better than God. Hallelujah. That's why he is... helped us. Remember, Satan will toss you a thought, you cast it down, and he throws you another, maybe the same, and you refused it once, but now you're accepting it. And this is where people get into trouble. Okay, good. We got a whole 7 minutes or so. 1 John, but this is flowing along quite nicely. Amen? God wants us helped, and we're going to get helped. And I'm just going to tell you, and it's not all your fault. Listen, I please don't think I'm picking on you. It's not all your fault. The devil knows that he can get you if he can deceive you. And so he has been spending, ever since he's fallen, the devil has taken his time, even more so. We have more deception against us today than they did then.
Yeah.
Listen, In Jesus' time, they didn't have as much deception as why? Because the devil has spent 2,000 years since then creating lies and deception and getting people distracted and all those things. So it's not all your fault, but we have to know the truth and then deal with it accurately. Amen? So 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is a spirit I love, you love, or this is a scripture I love, you love. But we're going to see something in this that's really interesting. I never saw it before, but it's really good. Amen. Ready? Yeah. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Now, one of the things that there is a spiritual world around us. We interact with the spiritual world. In fact, everything that's natural has come out of the spiritual world.
Yeah. Right.
But we have to be careful about getting too uber spiritual goofy.
Yeah.
We have to understand that, yes, there's spirits, yes, there's deceiving spirits, but not everything is a spirit. This word spirit, although it does mean it's the word pneuma, and it means, breath, it means spirit. It could be talking about God, angels, all these different kinds of things. So it can mean that. It could mean demons, right? Depending on in the text that it's used. But what I saw here, one of the main definitions of it, I thought were pretty interesting. It means mental disposition. Amen. Do not believe. Let's just put it to the test here. Do not believe every mental disposition or mental standpoint, place of standing. Right?
Yeah.
But test them. Test the thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? That's what a mental disposition is. It's a thought,
yeah,
really. That's a fancy way of saying your thoughts.
Right.
Do not believe every thought. Do not believe every imagination.
Yeah.
Do not believe everything that you can concoct in your head or somebody else can concoct around you.
Right.
But test them. Whether they be of God. Now, does this mean that, am I saying that this has nothing to do with spirits? I'm not saying that. Because there are spirits that help with things and stuff like that. But we have to understand, God did not tell us to renew our spiritual thoughts. He told us to renew our minds.
Yeah.
Told us to transform our minds.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Why do you suppose God said to transform your mind? Or transforming yourself by the renewing of your mind. Because your transformation starts with how you think.
Yeah.
Your transformation starts with the mirror that you're using. You know this to be true. You don't even have to go to the Word to know this is true. But you know full well that if you wake up and something happens you don't like, it can set your day off. Why can one little thing that happens, or why can it ruin an entire day? Why do we allow that to happen? Because we haven't renewed those minds.
Yeah.
We haven't got on those we haven't whacked that mole.
Yeah.
Listen, one thing pops up. So you want your whole, like, I heard someone say, I can't remember exactly how they say it, so I can't take credit for it. But they were talking about, like, it's ridiculous that we would, like, it would, like, if somebody, somebody gave you, like, $1 million and I don't know. I don't know. They took, they took 1% of it or something like that, and then you just threw out the rest of the million because, because the one was bad or whatever. I can't remember exactly how they said it, but it doesn't mean you get the point. The point is why would you throw out your whole day for one thing that happened bad?
Yeah.
Or maybe 10 things happened bad.
Yeah. Right.
What if 20 things happened bad?
Yeah.
More than 20 things happened to me in a day.
Yeah.
Why would we throw out an entire day just for one thing? Why would we throw out an entire week just because of one thing? Listen, this is where the mind, we have to get control of the mind. You know, most people look at 2021 or 2020 as the worst year probably in most of our history. But the truth of the matter is this, we're focused on a few things,
yeah.
A few things. God didn't fall off the throne. That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that God, and the same God that was yesterday is the same God that's today. So even though there was a pandemic going on, even though things were happening and crazy things were going on in life, the truth of the matter is this, God is still God. So that's a good starting place.
Yeah.
So we can't throw, why would we throw away the whole year just based on one pandemic or one thing? I mean, other things can happen. But you know why other things happen? You know why there are so many compounded things that happen? Because the world isn't taught to renew their minds. Our nation isn't taught to renew their minds. So one thing snowballed into something else and then snowballed in. You don't think the devil hasn't been setting this up for an awful long time? And how many Christians just jumped in that avalanche along with it instead of just saying, you know what? I'm not talking about not being safe. Praise the Lord. It is not a lack of faith to wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. It is a lack of faith to wear two masks. I can't do that. But to wear a mask is not a lack of faith. Amen? I don't believe so at all. If you feel like you need to wear one, praise the Lord. If you want to get a vaccination, if you think that it's something you should do, if you've sought the Lord and you think, you know, this is something I need to do, then you get one. But if you sought the Lord and you're like, I can't get one, then don't get one. But don't preach your doctrine to anyone else. Why? Because it's not you that needs to renew someone else's mind. It's you that needs to renew your own mind. You need to hear from God yourself. That's why we teach, but that's why we don't say much about stuff like that. Because we don't need, you need to know before the Lord what's right and what's good. Amen? Let's not be snowballed like everybody else, but Christians are being snowballed just like everyone else. And the reason is they never renew their stinking minds. Amen? But you want to know what this really is? Comes down to it, it's really this. It's humility. It's pride. When we embrace every thought we have, we are exalting our knowledge above the knowledge of God and saying our knowledge is more important. It's pride. You say, I'm not a prideful person. If you exalt your knowledge above God's knowledge, you certainly are. It's a lack of humility. And without submission, we won't see the Lord. It's the meek that inherit the earth. It's the humble. It's the pure in heart that see God. What's a pure in heart person? There's somebody that can say, you know what? I don't need to have my way. I need God's way. I don't need to do it my way. I don't need to have my own thoughts. You know what? And you know what I find as I submit to God, so many of my thoughts, yeah, there's things that he says, yep, that was no good. Keep it. Or don't keep it. Right. But there's a lot of times I find myself, I'll just submit to God. And he said, that's all I wanted from you. You can have it anyways. God isn't removing from you. He isn't trying to take from you. God is trying to get you into a better place of being. And then like, there's Christians that don't believe this. And it's like, what on earth do you think heaven is? You think heaven is worse than this? Do you think heaven is equal to this? And if it's not, we're at least going there. So if we're going there, if that's where we're headed, it's a better location. It's higher. I can't believe that God wants to bring us to heaven, but he wants to bring us there via just pouring out hell in our life. If God wanted to bring us heaven, why would he pour out hell in our life? You understand, sometimes there's opposition, resistance, you know. Praise the Lord. Resistance to the word of God is the fullness of pride. So what we need to be is we need to be people that submit ourselves to it. We're going to close. I'm just going to, back there in the sound booth, if you could just pull up Mark 7, verse 20 through 23. You write it down if you're taking notes. Look at it later. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll just read it. It's right there. Amen. I know it's coming. But and he said, Jesus said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man. Women, that applies to you too. Yeah. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. What's an evil thought? It's a thought that's against the word of God, that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. It's a thought that's not scriptural. It's looking in the wrong mirror. Amen? From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication. Look at this. Look at these evil things. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Where did it come from? It didn't say it come from the devil, did it? It says it comes from the heart. Yeah. It comes from within inside you. Why? Because the devil has zero control over your life unless you give it to him. He has no control over your life. He can't make you do anything. Get it in your head. There's no demon. Like, people get so demon conscious and they're so devil conscious. Christians do. And I'm just going to tell you right now, devils have no power. If they are affecting your life, it's because you're doing something wrong. They have no power. Like, we should just be like, that's all they are to us. They're nothing. I said they're nothing. The devil is nothing. You shouldn't even give it a time of thought. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is start talking about Jesus. You got a devil that's bothering you, start talking about Jesus. Yeah. Amen? What is he going to stand in your presence long? See, people make it this, oh, it's this fight. It's no fight. You can't fight. There's no fight for a defeated foe. Yeah. Listen, praise the Lord. If you got in the ring with Mike Tyson, you'd be scared. Even today, you'd be scared. But if somebody else already knocked him out and he's just cold, knocked out, you'd get in that ring with a whole lot of confidence, wouldn't you? You might tiptoe and just check just to make sure, but man, you'd just be, oh, whoo, glory to God, and you'd stand over him like a champion. This is what the devil is. He isn't even Mike Tyson. He's a weakling. He's a wuss. He's a boob. Hallelujah. Old school boob, not new school boob. Amen. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Praise the Lord. So let's just not let them defile us. Let's have the right thoughts. Let's cast down these thoughts. We're going to deal with things right. We're going to bring them in submission to the Word of God. We're going to think right about things. And this is how we're going to conquer. This is how we're going to kick butt. Amen.